Open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of 1 John chapter 2. And I do want to thank the ladies for the lunch. And I'm pretty much by myself at home most of the week. My youngest son lives, he's staying with me now with the present job situation. As a father, he still tries to make sure that his job allows him sufficient time with his daughter. So it does cause a little problem for him. But I take leftovers home, and even when I cook leftovers, they're not always eaten up. Because a lot of times he's not there. And my granddaughter, I don't think she's ever had a plate of food that she ate all of it. I usually wind up taking her leftovers and eating them. So, but I do appreciate the offer of the food to take with me. And one day you're going to offer me something, and I'm going to take it. You'd be disappointed. But again, 1 John chapter 2 this afternoon. And I wanted to consider verse 1. And I have to admit to you that every time I read this verse, I think about your pastor. There's a little word there that always makes me think about your attorney, your pastor, your advocate. So, I didn't pick this because of him. But every time I read it, I think about him. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Our Father, once again, it is our privilege to be assembled together. It is our privilege to stand before this body and to proclaim your word. I beseech thee to give me the strength and the wisdom and the peace and the comfort of mind and the liberty to say those things that need to be said and refrain from those things that need not to be. May I be the blessing to them that they have been to me over these years. And may we together honor, glorify, and praise you for Christ's sake. Amen. To me, this verse is a mouthful. John is explaining to him why he's writing this letter. And I believe he speaks of what he said already and then speaks also what he's going to say later on. His admonition, his desire is that ye sin not. That you sin not. That we sin not. The scripture makes it very clear. There's not a soul that sinneth not. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Over and over again, we are told we are sinners. It is not in our nature, we do not possess the ability to do right. You will not come unto me that you might have life. Your sin won't let you. Your sinful nature will not let you. But John here tells us we don't have a license to sin. Because I am a sinner, because I am a sinner saved by grace, saved by the blessed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, does not give me license or freedom to sin. It gives me freedom from the eternal consequence of sin, but not the license to sin. And it doesn't always give me freedom from temporal consequences for sin. You know, sin does have consequences even in life. It just doesn't carry on into eternity. But we're sinners. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. And there I'd like for us to notice verses 13 through 16. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 through 16. Wherefore gird up your loins of one mind, be sober, and hope to the end. For the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. We're admonished to be holy. We're told to gird up the loins of our minds, be sober, and hope to the end. I believe here again that idea of continuation on and on and on and on unto the end. Abiding, remaining, staying, continuing. For the grace that is brought, that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. And you'll notice that is not speaking about conforming to the world at large, but conforming yourself to what you were before you came to Christ. And that you grow in your knowledge and your understanding of how you ought to conduct yourself because of Christ. We have a great responsibility. And I'm going to tell you right now, too often I felt miserably in this particular case. Not that I run and do the things that I once did before I knew Christ. But just every now and then, that old man makes himself known. I don't excuse myself in that. I don't glory in that. But I confess it's there. You know, Paul talked about that war. And that which I would do, I do not. That which I would not do, that I do. Paul didn't excuse himself in that. He didn't give himself license to do. But he says, folks, I'm like you. There's a battle inside of me that's waged every day, all day, even in our sleep. I'm just glad that we don't remember all of our dreams. And there's some dreams I remember I wish I didn't. Our nature is very dangerous. And we need to be on guard at all times. We need to be sober. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. in everything that you do. And what I'm saying now is not easy. It's not. It is very difficult. And it's more difficult sometimes than others. But we're to be sober. Out of place, we're to be vigilant. Because we have an adversary. The wicked one, Satan, walketh about seeing whom he may devour. It is written, be ye holy as I am holy. God said that. And I'm not just going on the fact that Peter was inspired to write it. I'm going on the fact that God said it. I'm holy. I expect you to be. Then he goes on and says, not only do you not have a license to sin, but I want you to know something else. If any man does sin, and guess what, folks? You are going to sin. It's just our nature. Look at the last part of chapter 1 of the book of 1 John. If we walk in the light, I'm beginning at verse 7. If we walk in the light, as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Never tell anybody you don't sin. I had a woman somewhere in the neighborhood of 35 years ago tell me that she had finally reached a point in her life where she didn't sin anymore. I was afraid for that woman. We sinned yesterday. We have sinned more than likely already today. And if the Lord gives us breath, we're going to sin tomorrow. In thought, word, deed, in commission or omission. You know, that's kind of why the law was given to the nation of Israel. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. If you know what is right to do it and you don't, it's sin. So let me spell it out. That ain't to be done. Guess what? We do it. There's no salvation in the keeping of the law. The law shows us our sin. And he to know what is right and doeth it not, him in his sin. So, don't ever say you don't sin. Because the truth is that if you do. But now we've established that we have not a license to sin. We have not an excuse to sin. We do sin. Now what do we do? You're kind of now in a corner that you can't get out of. I'm not supposed to sin, but I do sin. I'm not supposed to sin, but I have to confess that I do sin. What do I do? We have an advocate. We have someone to call to our side. we have someone to represent us. We have someone that stands beside us before God. By the my shed blood on the cross at Calvary, that sin is forgiven. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us all, give us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why? Because of Christ. Because of the shed blood of Christ. You know, we need an advocate. Turn to the book of Psalms. The seventh psalm, it's probably been established already that we need somebody to represent us because we can't do it. We're not able to accomplish the task. But in Psalm 7, verses 10 and 11, my defense is of God, which saveth the upright in heart. God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. How are the righteous made righteous? How does any one of us become righteous? How does any one of us that does unrighteousness, that are sinners, ever be justified? How can a man be just with God? How can a thrice holy God ever have communion and connection with sinful, wicked people? Only the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, our advocate. The one that stands with us. The one that's our mediator. The one that is able to reach with his left hand and grab one party. With his left hand, grab one party, and his right hand, grab the other. And put them together. The advocate. Someone there to speak for and represent you. Represent your cause. And folks, we have a very great cause. Because if it were not for God's grace, God's mercy, God's forbearance, we'd all perish. There'd not be a saved person on earth. You know, the schools of thought, there are those that believe that God gives every human being the ability and the power to choose to come to Christ. Then there are those that say no one has that power or that ability. If anyone is saved, it's because God, before the foundation of the world, chose them in Christ, sealed them in Christ, and Christ, in God's own time, came, satisfied the law's last demand for all those people that the Father gave him. And every single one of them are going to stand before the throne of God in the person of Christ, their advocate, their justifier, and the means of their justification. It's not just enough that we are justified in Christ. Christ is the cause of our justification. We're made just because He took our sin. He became our sin bearer. He became our suffering substitute. and I probably answered this question already. But who is it that we need an advocate against? Who is it with whom or against whom we need an advocate? Who is it that we need to have someone called alongside us to help us? I would say who is not. In this case, it's not mankind. Your pastor informed me a couple of weeks ago what his function was in the county of St. Clair County, Illinois. And I have to say, I stand amazed that that's his job. I wouldn't want it. When he told me he was the prosecutor, that really threw me. But I'm not talking about Mel Kimberly. The advocate that John is talking about here is not one between man and man, or between man and the government. Our advocate is needed between us and God. Notice the last part of verse 2, or verse 1. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. You know, it is God that we need help with. It is God that we have offended. It is God that is angry with the wicked. It's God that we have to do. Hebrews chapter 4. Verses 12 and 13. Note if you would. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. We need an advocate because there is a God that there is nothing hidden from. I did not see what Mel Kimberly did at 9 o'clock yesterday morning. I have no idea. And I pulled 9 o'clock out of the air because this will go for any time of day or night. I don't know what you're doing. You don't know what I'm doing. But God does. God knows and sees everything. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Don't ever think that because nobody saw it, it didn't happen. It may not be in the news. You may not see it on Facebook, but it happened. And there's somebody that knows it. And that's the God of heaven. We need an advocate. We need someone to represent us. We're not up to the challenge. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the righteous. He's righteous, we're not. He has a quality that we don't have, except it is imputed unto us by God in and through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our righteousness. And because he is our righteousness, we have his righteousness, we are seen by God spotless. That's God's doing. You ever think about the love of God? That on one hand, said, I demand holiness. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. I love that person. I love those people. And in order for my justice to be satisfied, I have to make a way that their sins be taken away. And praise be to God, it was done in the person of his Son, Lord Jesus Christ, who has taken away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God. A lamb has to be sacrificed. I'm going to point the lamb. You know what Abraham told Isaac? The Lord provide a lamb. I said, Father, there's the wood. There's the fire. Where's the lamb? God provided. Lo and behold, there was a lamb stuck in the thicket. Abraham didn't have to kill his son. But something had to die. That lamb that stuck in the thicket, it died. So I had to die for my sin. I couldn't atone for it with my death. But the Lord Jesus Christ could. He who knew no sin became sin for me. Jesus Christ is our advocate. Turn, if you would, quickly to the book of Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Here, verses 9 through 13. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew I'm checking to make sure I got the right place I want. I think I do. Sitting at custom, and he saith unto him, follow me. And he rose and followed him. I'm still not fitting right here. But let me keep going. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, unto his disciples, why eatest your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repent. Those sinners that must confess their sinful, and they are sinners. Their advocate calls those sinners to repentance. Because we have an advocate, doesn't mean again that we're free to do whatever we want to do. Sin. We need to repent. And we need to repent regularly. You know, repentance and faith. Repentance towards God. Faith towards Christ. That's a one-shot deal. But it's lived out every single day. All of our lives, we're living out repentance and faith. We repent of our sin and we look to Christ in faith for our forgiveness of sin, for the remission of our sin, for our ransom, for our sin debt to be paid. Last thing I want to look at, Hebrews chapter 2. It was a good lunch. I don't know anybody getting dreary-eyed. I mean, every preacher will tell you to go to a Bible conference. Nobody wants that first one after lunch. I know I don't. I know the folks are sleepy, and I'm sleepy. So. But Hebrews chapter 2. Let's look at the last three verses. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things he is beloved, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted as he is being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. You know, there's a thing in the scriptures called the ministry of reconciliation. And that basically deals with changing our standing before God in the person of Christ. We're no longer enemies. We're no longer adversaries. We're father and son. We're father and daughter. But here this word reconciliation speaks more of propitiation. Speaks more of appeasing. It speaks more of satisfying God's last demand. It speaks more of the fact that our Lord Jesus Christ took upon himself our form. He was tempted in every way like as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, he is able to comfort, to succor, to stand beside those of us that do sin. He understands us. As the Son of Man, he knows what it's like. You know what it's like to be tired. Sometime on a Saturday afternoon or Saturday evening, I'm not completely full, got my messages all finished. You know, I'm tired, I'm sleepy, my mind is a little foggy. I remember thought, my Lord knew it was to be tired. He didn't have the same weaknesses I do. But I mean, he understands. His men get tired. His men need to take a break. Maybe a good night's rest. Get up in the morning. Get it finished. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ is so understanding. He is so not like us. You know, I can be very lenient and very understanding as long as I'm not angry with you. Ask my children. I'm afraid there's times I've chastised my children because of my state of mind. Not necessarily about what they did, but my state of mind. Or did what they do. I'm sorry. Not because what they did was so terrible, but it might have made me look bad about my other people. We're petty. Our Lord is not. Our Lord is an advocate that can stay the course day in, day out, from the rising sun to the setting of the same. we have an advocate with the Father. It's your turn now.